As America begins the celebration of its 250th birthday, Voice of Vashon and the Vashon Heritage Museum thought it would be appropriate to create our own recognition of this important milestone. Welcome to Vashon 250, a look back at what was happening in America 250 years ago and comparing it to what has happened over the past 250 years of American history, what is happening in our current political life, and how these ideals and events have been reflected in the history of our own Vashon Island. I'm John Flora, and I'm joined by my colleague, resident historian, Bruce Hallman.
Thanks, John. Our approach to Vashon 250 during this 250th year of the United States of America as an independent nation uses the Declaration of Independence as an aspirational mission statement, the Constitution as a working user's manual, and the events of the American Revolution as a guide to help us understand who we are as a nation, how we came to be who we are, and how Vashon Island fits into this larger narrative structure.
So, Bruce, as we get underway, we first have an important question to answer. We all know that 100th anniversaries are called centennials. For those of us that were here around here in 1976, we celebrated the nation's 200th birthday with the bicentennial. So what do we call a 250th anniversary?
Interesting question. A 250th anniversary technically can be called a quarter millennial, but other accepted terms are also used. When the cities of Pittsburgh and Allentown, Pennsylvania held their 250th anniversaries in 2012, both Pennsylvania cities used the term semi-quincentennial, which directly means or literally means half of 500 years. Meanwhile, the U.S. Department of the Interior and the Huffington Post have used the term sestercentennial for the 250th anniversary, which uses the Latin prefix sester to shorten the idea of centennial to a semi-quincentennial. You got that?
Yeah, I think so. And hopefully all the listeners are still with us. So the U.S. Semi-Quincentennial Commission, established by Congress in 2016, and America250.org, the nonprofit supporting organization to the commission, came together as America 250, as a nonpartisan initiative working to engage every American in commemorating the 250th anniversary of our country. For our purposes, we'll go with a totally unrelated thing, and we're just calling it Vashon 250. We have interesting history. History repeats itself, and we should learn from that. And hopefully we'll also keep you interested and engaged with what we're doing. We are recording most episodes in the Voice of Vashon Studios, but on occasion we may go remote to locations on the island. There are lots of places that are of historic importance to this place we call home. When appropriate, we may venture out, and if you see us doing what we're doing, say hello. We'd love to see you. Now, before we begin the next phase of these important stories, let's explore the story of how we got here, who has helped us along the way, and some of the inspirations that have informed our exploration of the revolution and its legacy in our current times and on the island.
John, why don't you tell us how you came up with this idea and when you approached me with this idea?
Well, the first part of that question, last August, my wife and I had an opportunity to attend a program with Ken Burns and Channel 9, talking about his recent, or new, if you prefer, program about the Revolutionary War. And as we were driving home, I got to thinking about the island and all the interesting history we've had in that time. So part of the reason for doing this program really comes from the realization that many recent arrivals to the island, and I'm thinking those that have come in the last 7 to 10 years, have no idea why some things are as they are. For example, most islands have their primary town on the waterfront, usually in a safe or protected harbor. Why not Vashon? There's clearly some reason for that. Did we really have a Nike missile base on the island? Spoiler alert, yes, we did. We'll talk about that. Was there once a college on the island? A famous coffee company, and an annual Republican Party summer picnic? All true, and we'll talk about that. So then the question, as I'm driving home from the Ken Burns show, who can I engage? And there's really only one historian to talk to, and that would be you. So I called you, we got together, and now we're here starting this whole thing.
It was interesting. When John called me with the idea, I was thinking, I mean, what a great concept. You know, it's a sort of try and tie Vashon history back to the kind of foundational events that created the United States of America. Because, I mean, American history is complex. It's nuanced. It's not simple by any means. And so is Vashon history. And the two parallel each other in many ways, not chronologically, but sort of ideologically, thematically, and in terms of the issues that motivate people. And so when John approached me, I got to thinking, wow, what does Heather Cox Richardson, one of my heroes, if you will, do to sort of link, you know, the past to the present? And if you read her Letters from an American or get her podcast, you can see how she sort of tries to position what's happening today into a historical context of knowing that, hey, it's not new. We've gone through this before. It's been different, but it's also the same. And so that was my sort of initial approach when John talked to me.
Well, and I can add to that, when I came to the island 20 years ago, this year, as a matter of fact, I remember talking with my late father-in-law, who had been on the island since the mid-70s, and I said, what's the takeaway? What should I expect moving here? I've looked at the island, visited the island all my life, but once you move here, it's different. And he said, well, you're going to see things change. One year it'll be the fire department in the news. Another year it'll be the ferry system. Another year it'll be the schools. And about every 7 years, there's a turnover of people. And you get new people. People leave for whatever reason. And there's a number of reasons for that. And he said, you're just going to see kind of sort of constant change. Yet at the same time, you'll see people like you that come and stay and are aware of a lot of history, while these newcomers constantly come and go and sometimes get engaged, sometimes don't. And so my hope is through this, we may not be looking down the road another 20 years asking the big elephant in the room question, why are we stuck with the designation of unincorporated King County? Well, the laws don't allow us to become a city or town. How come? Think about it. And we're going to talk about that too in the future.
So when John approached me, I sort of tried to think about, okay, what are the big issues here at stake? And I had read an article where a historian had talked about the Declaration of Independence as the mission statement for the United States. And it struck me as a very insightful way to look at the Declaration of Independence, because in a sense, the Declaration of Independence, when you read it, and I recommend pulling out some time and read it. It's fascinating reading. It's really two documents. The first part of the document is aspirational. You know, it's about life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. You know, it's about all men are created equal. I mean, it's a really very revolutionary, if you will, statement of at the time, sort of indicating that there's a new world that is emerging, the world of the Enlightenment, the world of rationality, the world of science. And it's a great statement of that sort of sense of the role of the individual as a sort of a decision maker in that new world. But it's also a second document, which is a whole list of grievances against the King of England. So, you know, the King of England is not following his own rules or laws. You know, he's obstructing administrative justice. He's not keeping the military independent of civilian power. You know, he's quartering and protecting troops in private citizens' homes. He's sort of fomenting domestic insurrections and then suppressing them. And also built into it is this whole concept, and it's basically very deeply embedded racism in America about merciless Indian savages, a direct quote out of the Declaration of Independence. And, of course, embedded in all is slavery. And so what you get is this complex document that is, on one hand, a resounding call for freedom and equality, and on the other hand, you know, it's a document that says, hey, these are all the problems we see, and we want you to fix them. And so that's really one of the beginning points, if you will, of this set of discussions. The other part of it that we sort of end with is the Constitution. And the Constitution is really basically a user's manual. How do you do this? And like any user manuals, it's got errors in it, it's got omissions in it, it's got issues in it. But the user manual of the Constitution is really built around the ideas of slavery. You know, a slave is only 3/5 of a human being. It's built around hierarchy. You know, you have the House of Representatives, you have the Senate, you have three branches of government, which are supposed to be independent of one another, and most of the time they are, but they always haven't been, and we see right now today they're often not. But it's also a rejection of direct democracy by creating a republic in which government is removed from the direct response to the people. And so when you take the Declaration of Independence as a mission statement, and you take the Constitution as a user's manual, you really have a way of looking at how American history has developed over the last 250 years and how history on Vashon has reflected that, particularly over the last, you know, 170, 180 years since white European settlement. And within that, it gives us a context to build the basis of this show, which is first to look at what was going on 250 years ago with the revolution. Secondly, how has that echoed through the 2 centuries, 2.5 centuries that the United States has been a country? How is it resonating with the issues we're dealing with today, particularly issues with the administration we have right now? And then finally, how has that played out on Vashon Island? And so that's the basis for what we're trying to do in this show. And I think it will be an interesting ride, hopefully at times a thrilling ride. Sometimes it will be very frustrating. But in the end, I think we'll have an opportunity to really explore the connections between who we are on Vashon Island, who we are as Americans today in the third decade of the 21st century, who we have been as Americans for the last 250 years, and how we became Americans during the Revolutionary War.
So, Bruce, that intro is really helpful. Now, let me throw an example at you of the kind of thing we'll discuss in the weeks ahead. Vashon sits here as unincorporated King County out here in the center of the Sound. We have lots of issues that sometimes we have to deal with ourselves. And sometimes we have to go fight it out with the county or the state or whatever entities out there. The one that comes to mind for me is something related to how we manage ourselves. And right now we're sort of a bunch of fiefdoms that somehow manage to get along most of the time. A number of years ago, I had the good fortune of hearing from our good friend Craig Bellis about the differences between being a city, a town, or a township. And by virtue of state law and county interference, if you will, we cannot be the first two, but the latter one, the township, has never been defined. Whether that's a possibility, who knows? So if you would, talk about that a little bit. You've been here a long time and understand the issues.
Yeah, I mean, it's what's always fascinating to me is Vashon has never had its own government. We've always been a fiefdom, if you will, subordinate to either King County, the state of Washington, or the federal government. I mean, no real decisions are meaningful, sort of big island-wide decisions, are made on Vashon. I mean, we have some governmental sort of districts on the island. We have an airport district. We have a fire district. We have a cemetery district. We have sewer districts. We have water districts. We have a school district. But we don't have a Vashon district. We don't have a Vashon town, if you will. You know, anything we do to regulate ourselves has to come through either King County or the state of Washington. So, which goes back to the Revolutionary War, if you will. I mean, that was one of the fundamental issues in the Revolution. You had all these English colonies who were responsible to the crown, or the crown had responsibility for them, but they had no power to sort of control themselves. And that was at the core of many of the issues that led to the Revolution. And even within that, there's a fascinating case study of the state of Franklin. Many of you probably have never heard of the state of Franklin. That's because it never became a state. But Franklin was an area of what is now Virginia and West Virginia that applied, and part of Tennessee, that applied to become a state when the Constitution was and the Articles of Confederation were being put together. And they were refused. And so they became part of Virginia and Tennessee. And then when West Virginia broke away, right at the beginning of the Civil War, part of West Virginia. So there's always been, from revolutionary times to today, there's always been instances where local people have wanted to control their own destiny. But the powers that be, whether it be the United States government during the revolutionary times with the state of Franklin, or King County in the state of Washington with Vashon, have not wanted those independent decisions to be made. So it's a fascinating kind of relationship between us today, where we cannot become an incorporated city. I mean, King County and the state of Washington actually, the state of Washington passed legislation with strong support from King County to make it illegal for Vashon to ever incorporate. So we will never be an incorporated city. Whether we could be a township and what that means is just a fascinating other part of Vashon history. And do we want to be? That's another question.
So maybe we need to rename ourselves Franklin, and that'll get it done. But anyway, that will be one of those interesting topics we cover in the weeks ahead, that sometimes maybe you scratch your head and go, why is that? And so we're going to give you a good reason why. Whether we'll ever change anything on that subject, who knows? But it's something that's beyond just being an interesting side note. It is something that affects our daily lives, and we should know more about it. So we're going to help you learn. So, Bruce, as we go forward, let's take a quick look at the idea of ferry protests. They've become more, civil in some ways, but more recently, we've all just kind of become fed up with the system. That's not a new thing by any means. So take a look back as far as recorded history goes, and talk a little bit about what protests have looked like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what's fascinating is people on Vashon have always had problems with ferry service. I mean, even from the very beginning, you know, in the 1890s and early 1900s, when you read the newspapers and you read letters, people are just complaining about the ferry service. This is the Mosquito Fleet days, you know. Boats are late, boats aren't on schedule, it costs too much, you know. All the kinds of issues that you hear today were issues 120, 130 years ago. And they're still issues, and they always have been. And the protests of the ferries have not always been peaceful. In the late 1930s, when there was going to be a ferry strike, a group of Vashon vigilantes, what would later be called the Vashon vigilantes, a group went down and actually boarded one of the ferries that then went over to Harper, which is just north of where Southworth is. This is before the Southworth dock was built. Went over to Harper, and they sat down on the ferry overnight and refused to leave because they were afraid the ferry wouldn't come back to Vashon. So there was actually a ferry sit-down strike, if you will, in the 1930s to make sure that ferries came back to Vashon. But in a very Vashon way, the next morning, the sheriff from Kitsap County came in and said, this is illegal. You're on private property. Will you leave? And they said, of course we'll leave. And so they went and they came back to Vashon Island. Now, there was another Vashon vigilante that was bordered on the edge of violence in the 1940s. And this is when the Black Ball Fleet had established a monopoly all through Puget Sound. And, of course, was a monopoly running the Triangle route from Harper to Vashon to Fauntleroy, what is today Southworth Fauntleroy Vashon. And in that protest, Vashon actually formed their own ferry district. So we just said, to hell with you. We're going to run our own ferries. We elected a ferry commissioner, a ferry commission. They got boats from King County and picked up some unused ferries from Lake Washington after the bridge had been built. Vashon had its own ferry district for almost 4 years. And of course, the Black Ball Fleet, once they came back after the strike, they wanted to break the Vashon Ferry District. And so they brought in the Illihee to land at Vashon Landing. Well, when word got out that the Black Ball Fleet was going to try and land at the Vashon Ferry District dock, Islanders sort of organized Vashon vigilantes. It went uptown. George McCormick, who ran the hardware store, was passing out axe handles and pitchforks and all that sort of stuff. And this crowd gathered at the ferry dock to prevent the Illihee from landing, because the attorneys for the ferry district had been told that if the Illihee landed, if the Black Ball Fleet established a landing on Vashon Ferry Dock, then they would have the right to do that in the future. And so it was important not to allow the Illihee to land. So there was a crowd of people at the dock. The Illihee comes in. They push it off with pitchforks and axe handles and whatever they could grab, and refused to allow the ferry to land. And it came back again, and, you know, a little bit later, a few minutes later, tried to do it again. Same thing happened. And then finally it took off and never came back. And so the Vashon vigilantes, for years in the festival parades, the vigilantes would have a float celebrating the battle of the North End Ferry Dock. And so, you know, there has been this sort of tie between Vashon ferry districts and ferry sort of a protest, and going right back to the protest during the Revolutionary War that led up to the war itself. So Vashon history is not distinct from the larger sweep of American history.
So while the bumper sticker may say keep Vashon weird, it also should say maybe keep Vashon entertaining, because certainly we have an entertaining history.
And weird is entertaining on Vashon,
is,
right?
It is. And I'm thinking we need to float again in the parade.
Yes.
So that is a wrap to our first introductory episode. Bruce and I invite you to join us again each week for interesting stories about our collective American and Vashon Island history. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion of a topic we might want to cover, drop an email to vashon250@voiceofvashon.org. That's vashon250, numbers 250, at voiceofvashon.org, and we'll respond to you fairly soon. Vashon 250 is a production of Voice of Vashon, your island connection. We are joined by Truman O'Brien, who is handling the production elements for our show. And also, Vashon 250 is sponsored by NACM Business Credit Services, a 126-year-old association focused on credit education and professional financial services for business credit departments across the nation. We appreciate their support. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.